most agency owners, this is their baby. And what you're asking for is split custody of their baby.
Welcome to the Insurance Refocused podcast, where we're highlighting real agent stories and how they are innovating to respond to the changes and challenges happening in the independent insurance industry. My name's Lindsay, and I can't wait to introduce you to my amazing co-host who just so happens to be my mom, Carrie Wallace. Mom, how are you doing today?
I am having a great day, Lindsay. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, doing well. It's a beautiful day out. Got some breakfast, got my workout in, so ready to go.
Oh, you're ahead of me. You are totally ahead of me. But these are my favorite exciting days. Like, I got to tell you, I always look forward to spending the day with you and podcasting and getting to talk to some amazing people, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So today I am happy to share that we have one of my favorite people on. He is part of an agency that I get to work pretty closely with. We have Clinton Orr of iProtect Insurance. Welcome to the show, Clinton.
Thanks for having me, Carrie, Lindsay. It's a pleasure to be here. I was actually shocked with all the big wigs that you guys know when I got that email. Hey, do you want to be on a podcast? I'm like, did you mean to send this to me? Or yeah, I'd love to. Aww. Love to do it.
Listen, oh, so Clinton, I think that you've got amazing things to share. And that's what this podcast is about. It's not about like the names you always hear. It's about the agents that are doing some pretty cool things that can help other agents that want to emulate that, learn from each other. And I think that's what's cool about what I get to do. I get to talk to all kinds of people, and some of them never have a mic in front of them. You're never going to get to hear their story. So I appreciate you saying that, but we actually try pretty hard to make this about people you don't know very well, you know?
Yeah. Well, to have that mic in front of you, for the people out there, I work with Scott Howell, the insurance guy, one half of the insurance guy. And what I've learned in watching him is it's a gift, man, to have that. It's one thing to have a story. It's another to have a gift to be behind that mic. And, you know, that he's got it, man. One take Charlie every single time. That's what he is.
So, Clint, we haven't had the pleasure of working a lot together or even getting to spend any time together. So give me some background on you, like how long you've been in the industry and what you're doing.
So yeah, I'll tell you how I got started. It's a little bit of a long-winded story, but it's a good one, I promise.
Okay.
So I got started, my degree is in real estate law from the University of Central Florida, go Knights. And I got started in the real estate game. Me and a buddy of mine started our first real estate company when I was 19 and in college. And we made a lot of money doing it, more than any 19-year-old should make, and got a little silly with the money. The market crashed. I ended up, in my infinite wisdom of 25 years old, decided I was going to go try to sell real estate in a real estate recession in South Florida, which clearly was not a very smart move. So after a few years of failing at that, I decided I was going to move to Alabama. And I moved in with my mom, who, by the way, is an insurance agent. She has been since 1996. And she's good. You know, I mean, I'm a little biased, but she's good. And I moved in with them and I was going to go back to law school. That was going to be my goal. I was like, you know what? I went to school. I got a bachelor's in law. Let's finish this. You know, you enjoy real estate. It's clearly something you understand. You've invested yourself. Your parents were investors. Your degree is in real estate law. Let's keep that path. So after about 6 months of living with my parents and not getting any callbacks, cause I had no experience in a law office, my mom's kind of like, hey, I'm kind of tired of paying your bills. You know, how do you feel about going to doing this insurance thing? And I'm like, I don't want to do sales. You know, after, you know, the real estate piece of things, I was a fuel broker too, which the market crashed in that world as well. So it was kind of like, I was real jaded when it came to sales. I knew I was good at it and I had the gift of gab, but it was just always one of those things where it's like, it was taxing. And, you know, I wanted the 9 to 5, the 401k, the weekends to my, you know, I wanted that. Well, you know, it didn't work out that way. And after about 6 months, I was like, all right, fine. I'll try the insurance route. And my mom linked me up with her boss, who's a pretty big agent here in Alabama, met with him, and it went well. And his wife, I'll never forget, his wife came in and met with me, and we sat down and talked. And she, right in front of me, looked right at him and said, I don't want to use names, but she used his name and says, that boy ain't going to stay here long. You can't put him in a small town, Alabama. He's from South Florida. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. He's like, well, what are you going to do? You know, and so they came up with a plan to introduce me to a nationwide sales manager at the time. So I met with her, interviewed with her, and they offered a position that I was completely underqualified for. It was their, what they call the AAE program. So it's basically, you start a scratch agency, we're going to pay you a salary, you hit these benchmarks every single month, and at the end, we'll give you a retired or fired agent's book of business, and boom, you're an agency owner. Well, at the time I interviewed, I could barely spell insurance. I had no idea what liability was. You know, that all of their requirements I did not meet. I had none of them, but I just really faked it till I make it. I'll never forget, I met with the AVP of the area at the time, pretty high up with Nationwide. And she sat me down. And everybody told me going into this interview with her that, hey, she's tough. She's tough. You know, mind your P's and Q's. You know, that whole little charmy ha 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 thing, that ain't gonna work. You know, and I'm like, I'm still young enough that I didn't care. I'm gonna do it anyway. You know, so I went in there and she said, there's not a doubt in my mind that you could sell, but you're like a thoroughbred racehorse without a jockey. She's like, you are just all over the place. And I'll never forget that because she was right. She was right. Getting into that program, I learned real fast. So I got to dial this in. But they ended up hiring me, and I went 2 weeks to Nationwide boot camp up in Columbus. And I just remember sitting in a class with, you know, this guy's been doing it 10 years. This guy's been doing it 12 years. This guy's about to take over his dad's book of business. Everybody in the class was just the seasoned vet. And here I come in. You know, what am I going to do?
Probably the best one in the class, actually, right?
At the time, I was very fortunate because they all kind of, I was baby bro, you know, they all kind of took me under their wing and taught me. And, you know, we, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to that Nationwide, but they got a bar like on the.
Oh yeah, they do. Yeah.
You know, so we sat in that bar and we did, you know, cause we had to do like these on camera, you know, training sessions where I'm trying to sell, right? So we'd sit at that bar till 10 or 11, 12 o'clock at night going through these training sessions, you know, and they got a little slurry towards the end, but, you know, I came back and I still was just a deer in the headlights. And that's when I met Scott. I met Scott at that point because he was in the program about 8 or 9 months ahead of me. And Carrie, Lindsay, I will never forget. This is when him and I became friends, is because he saw the deer in the headlight looks. I might have even had like my head in my hand, you know, one of those sitting at my desk, like, what am I going to do? This is so hard, you know. And he sat me down and he cold water Scott Howell, as he likes to put it. He's like, yeah, this is going to be hard. You're on an island by yourself. There ain't no one in this office going to help you because we're all trying to do our thing. And in fact, our asses are a little bit chapped because I got to go to my 2 week Nationwide class, not during my program time. See, I got a little bit of golden child treatment because of my mom, you know, they all knew my mom, but you know, I got a little bit of golden child and that chapped Scott's ass, you know, and the other guys in the group, as it should, you know? So
yeah. We don't know anything about that, right? Like,
I don't know anything about that at all.
So yeah, he sat me down and he was very cold water. Yeah, this is going to be tough. And a light bulb went off. It's like, all right, we got to burn the ships. This is time. It's, you know, it's sink or swim. At the time, I think I was like 27 or 28. I'm coming off a few failed jobs. I didn't want to do that again. You know,
you're hungry, man. You're hungry and ready. I love it. That's like the perfect recipe, actually. Yeah, right.
I didn't have the family at the time. So I was single. I was able to put in a bunch of hours and that's what I did. I went through that program. Scott passed first because he was obviously ahead of me, and then I was probably about 6 months behind him. Well, he got the last book of business that Nationwide was, I don't want to say giving away because it wasn't given, but, you know, the last book that was available for purchase, Scott got. And they kind of got rid of the program. A lot of stuff happened to where there was no longer a job at Nationwide at going that route anymore. It was, it kind of, they rolled out a new program that really wasn't fit for me. So here I am back at square one again. Like, what am I going to do? And interviewed with a few places. Scott was one of them. And it was always Scott. It was always Scott. You know, it was one of those things that it was always going to be that. And I came over and sat down with him and he said, "Hey man, we've got $10,000 in premium and commercial and this book of business I bought. And I'm trying to grow this commercial. I need you to run my commercial and let's do this together." And here we are.
So let's talk about that, because first of all, you know, for the people that are listening that don't know Scott Howell, it's really tough to not fall in love with the guy. I mean, it just is. He might be the definition. Like, if you look up in the dictionary, authentic, that's him all day, and heart. Like, if you could put those two words together, that is who he is. And it doesn't matter who you are. If he decides you're someone that he wants to be a part of, and you're open to him, he'll give you the shirt off his back every single day and twice on Sunday. There's just no two ways around it. So I know for sure you could have interviewed with a million people, but once you've met him and you connect, I know what you're talking about. Like, I know that it has to be him. So you said you only had a very small amount of commercial lines on the books. And what I know about you, Clinton, is you are a master at creating a niche and being a very good expert in a significant amount of, you've built a significant book in a relatively short period of time. That's impressive. So talk to us about, A, how did you pick the niche? How did you build the niche? Like, what did that look like? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So when we first started with Scott, that 10th, there was no niche probably the first 6 months, year, give or take, because it was just growth. And coming from that Nationwide program, they programmed you, doesn't matter, grow. So that's what we were trying to, so it could be a lawn care company to a tire company to this, that, or the other. Well, what I learned in going through that process was my personality and these different types of personalities either didn't mesh or didn't go, you know, it was causing a lot of heartache for clients as well as myself. So it was one of those things where it's like, okay, what do I want to do? What do I enjoy? I'm a big believer in when you pick your niche, it should be something that you can tell a story about. Meaning, you know, if you grew up to parents that owned a funeral home, well, you should probably do funeral homes because you could tell that story and that owner can relate to that story. Well, my story, as we talked about earlier, was real estate. My parents were real estate investors. I was a real estate investor. You know, some other time on a different time we can have this conversation, my story and how I got started in real estate was really, really cool at 19 years old and how that all, you know, progressed. People love hearing that type of stuff, especially from younger people. And it was just one of those worlds that I understood and I enjoyed being in. I understood the buyer profile, the client profile. I got it. And I think that is key in picking your niche. You can't just say, well, I sure do love going to the gym. Well, okay. I mean, I love golf, but I suck at it, you know, so I'm not, you know, so it's not one of those things where I think you can really, that translates. I think you have to have a story and it's something you just understand. And real estate was that thing for me. So, you know, we started small with the single family stuff and we got a few single family investors and, you know, those few single family investors told their friends and, you know, we started very local, very here in Huntsville. And I think what really was the tipping point for us was Huntsville became what they call an emerging market for apartments. So investors from all over the country started coming here to Huntsville to buy these apartments.
And, yeah, who would have thunk, right? Who would think that's going to happen?
If you look at it big picture, it's government money. That defense with Redstone Arsenal, you know, that's about as – in fact, that's why I moved to Huntsville. You know, Nationwide offered me three different places to start. I picked Huntsville because growing up in Florida, the economy is very volatile. And I didn't want that. I was snake bitten. So when I saw Huntsville and I saw the Arsenal, I'm like, that's about as recession proof as you're going to get in this country. So I moved here, and it just so happened that's why apartment investors started coming here a few years later. Well, it kind of hit me. Well, these investors, they got apartments everywhere, and it ain't nothing for us to go get licensed in these places. And with technology, what it is today, I can be standing on the street from my office in Florence looking at these apartments. So we started getting licensed and telling these investors, hey, we appreciate your business here in Huntsville. If you think we're doing a good job for you, hey, we're licensed, you know, in XYZ states where we know you've got properties. Let us take a look. And it was snowball effect from there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing though, Clinton, you started out thinking you were going to be able to buy a book of business and own your own agency. You then joined another agency and grew very quickly, became a really key employee inside the agency without question. There's a lot of producers that have a pathway or want to have a pathway to ownership. So tell me how that conversation went between you and Scott. Did you ever have the conversation to say, hey, listen, I want to be an owner? Or what did that look like? What did that dynamic look like?
Yeah. Well, going back to what you said before with Scott and his heart and who he is as a person, I was pretty lucky that was part of the initial, hey, come on board. You know, if this takes off, you know, I want you to be my partner. So I do know that I was very fortunate in that aspect, that has always kind of been the plan, but that has kind of always set the tone of that shield right behind me. That's what's important. It's always what's important. And it ain't my bank account. It ain't my accolades. It's our company. It's our accolades. And I think that if I'm sitting in the owner chair, when you see somebody, like you said, that is very self-serving, you know, I want more money, so I want ownership. Well, who's going to give you that? There's no loyalty there. I think that from that standpoint, I was pretty lucky. Now, having that conversation with an owner, I do think there has to be a level of humility. There has to be a level that both sides understand that the shield is number one, and neither one of them can do this without each other. And we were just, I tell you, I know I keep using that word, but we were. I was very lucky in that aspect that was recognized very, very early. Because you're right, there was a level of expectation. I was going to have something. And if we're being 1,000% honest, and I think Scott will even tell you this, I wasn't ready to own anything at the time I was coming out. I just wasn't. I was 30 years old. You know, still a kid for the most part, you know, I wasn't ready. I probably would have failed.
So what do you think you needed in order to get ready? Because I think that's so important. I think, here's the thing. I own my own business. I said it again, Lindsay. Can you believe I said that? Oh my goodness.
I laughed
goodness.
Audibly.
I know.
She always
I
says, here's the thing before she says anything.
Really.
I'm going to get you a shirt that says that.
I'm totally, I actually thought about renaming the podcast, Here's the Thing, because I say it all the time. But
so
anyway,
for her birthday this year, I made a video compilation of, and she was like, oh my God, I hate you. I thought I was hilarious.
Anyway, okay, back to the story at hand. I think there's a lot of people that watch entrepreneurs build businesses, and for right, wrong, or indifferent, they think it's kind of easy, or they see their part in the process as being pivotal, which it is, but not the other side of managing people, managing relationships, financial hardship, I mean, there's just so many pieces to it because all the, it weighs on your shoulders. So in my situation, I'm married. I have a husband who has a very established job. And at age 50, I decided to start my own business. Like, okay. Or maybe I was 49, 48. I don't even know. But a couple of years ago, I decided to do that. I had the comfort of, I don't have to sink or swim. I have someone who has a nice income. It gives me some time. That's not true for a lot of people. Sometimes you are the main breadwinner and you are rolling the dice and betting on yourself. And so when you have a hotshot person who's key to your business, who wants a piece of something you've done, your own blood, sweat, and tears to build, it's a tough thing to let go of unless there's some level of trust, there's some level of understanding. So you said, if I tried to do this on my own at 28 or 29, I probably would have failed. What do you think you earned or gained between that time and now that would have been key for you to be successful as a business owner?
Well, watching Scott, I mean, Scott's probably one of the better people I've ever seen as far as crisis. You know, I am a very volatile. I know this about myself. I'm a volatile. When I'm happy, you know it. When I'm angry, you're going to know. I mean, it's you ride a roller coaster. Leveling that out, because there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows when you're trying to run a business. And I mean, we've seen it in our agency. You know, if you've listened to the Insurance Guy podcast, you've seen it, you've heard it. We've had highs and lows. And, you know, I think at that time, I just wasn't capable. I think what happened, and this happened probably in 2016, and I would even venture to say at that time, I wasn't even ready. 2016, 2017, because what happened, this was kind of a turning point for me. Scott, we had just won Presidents or Champions, something big with Nationwide, where Scott got to go to Austria for a week, you know, on Nationwide's dime, which was really, really cool. So Scott did that. And then my secretary at the time, she was taking a trip to like Ireland or something like that. And I can't remember the exact specifics, but long story short, she ended up telling us once she was out there, she was staying an extra week, or maybe the whole trip was an extra week, but we didn't know. It wasn't something when she was out there for 2 weeks, Scott was gone for a week, and we just, our office hit the fan, and I'm by myself. You know, I mean, we have the personal lines people, but you know, as far as decision-making is concerned, it's me. No one can get a hold of it, you know. And we hit some problems, and I ended up having a panic attack. And thank goodness I was at the hospital visiting a friend who just had a car accident, where I passed out, just fell backwards in the hospital, right there at the hospital. You know, they had to wake me up, took me to the emergency room. You know, long story short, everything was fine, but it was a panic attack. And I learned right then and there, I was like, look, man, you got to learn to ride these better. And Scott's probably one of the best I've ever seen. I mean, he can have grenades going on around him and he can tell you a funny story why he's doing it. So it's, you know, I think learning your strengths and weaknesses, self-awareness, and figuring out where you can get better. And I just was lucky enough that one of the areas I could get better, I was watching one of the best people, you know, do it. So it, you know, it was easy to emulate or try to emulate.
What were some strategies you used to help manage those up and downs when it actually like?
It's another Scottism. Is anybody dead? No? Okay, then we're going to fix it. It could be fixed. I mean, if you want the God's honest truth, I mean, that's as simple as that sounds. That was kind of one of the things where it was just like, is anybody dead? No? Okay, well, then we can fix this. And
so having some perspective about the volume of reaction that you put to something, I think it's a learned behavior, right? I mean, so, and watching someone that's able to be calm, I mean, listen, his military background is clear when you meet the guy, like you get this level of calm when you've seen things that you have to be calm. I once heard a speaker say that panic is catchy, but so is calm. And it is very, very true. Like when you see someone that their reaction is together, you also get find comfort in that and you can also be calm. But if they panic every single time, the entire family, team, whatever will panic also. Yep. So it's an interesting thing, right?
Yeah, 100%. And like you, like he's just very, very good at that. And I think another thing is kids, you know, kids will teach you patience and call, you know, when you start having kids and you have to answer 8 million questions, you know, a day about silly things, you know, I think you just start, you start to learn patience and calmness. And like you said, it's just growing up. I was very lucky. I got to be a kid for a long time and it was just one of those things. It was time to grow up.
Amen to that. Kids keep you humble. Yeah, trust me on that.
Here's the thing.
They make videos of you, compilations of you saying things. That's funny. Clinton, what advice, if you could go back to when you were going through the Nationwide program and like talk to your younger self, what advice do you think you would give yourself?
That's a good question. What advice would I give myself? I'd probably just stay the course. You're going to be okay. You know, there was a lot of times I wanted to, I mean, I joke with Scott about it now. Like there was a lot of times, especially when things were tough, you'd fantasize about going to get the lawn care job or the paint job where you could just go to work, come home, be done, and go to do it again the next day and just mindless work. But I'm so glad I didn't do that, you know, because now it's the years served have been good to me, to be good to my family, you know, from a flexibility standpoint, from a financial standpoint, you know, I don't think I would have been able to do that if we were to ever quit, if I were to ever quit. So I think some of that, and then another thing would probably be save a little bit more money. Yeah. With it, but just, you know, when you're lean and mean and you're single and, you know, prior to family, you don't realize how fast and that stuff can go out the door. But,
I think that's great advice. Honestly, you know, when you have less responsibilities, it's easy to let your own cost of living go up. And if you pay yourself first and you save, it gives you options as you get further in life. So we just did a series on financial acumen, personal financial acumen. And it's a tough thing to learn as a young person because, you know, you can't fast forward and see what's going to be in front of you as a business owner, as a family, as a leader of your family, like all those things. And by the time you get there, you're like, man, if I had it to do over, I would do something a little different. So living below your means is a real thing. I think that's great advice. What advice about, you know, let's say someone is a producer and their agency owner hasn't brought up the subject. What advice would you give them and how to approach that subject and also find out if they're ready to even have that conversation?
Yeah. Good question. I think that if I were to have to do it that way, and mind you, I'm coming from this of working with Scott, I think you just sit down and you go to it not I deserve, I need, I want, I you know, maybe and I'm ready for more responsibilities, you know, whatever that looks like. I think you start there. You start very humble with a little bit of humility because you got to remember, most agency owners, this is their baby. And what you're asking for is split custody of their baby. And if you come in there and you're doing that with, you know, an entitled attitude, whether you're right, wrong, it doesn't matter. You're going to piss them off. Anybody. I mean, you know, so I think they have to be open to that conversation as well. And then when you sit down and that conversation starts there, you know, hopefully that person, well, what does that look like to you? And then now you've got the conversation started. Well, I'd like to explore ownership in this agency, you know, and what that looks like. And you start very benign. You know, I think coming out and, you know, you'd scare people saying, I want X amount of ownership and this is what I'm willing to pay because this is how much I brought you. And that's going to offend anybody on this planet, whether you're right or not, it doesn't matter. That's, you know, you got to remember this is a child to most of these agency owners. So, you know, pulling that card is going to bring out the claws in anybody. So I think it has to be more of a, I'm ready for the next step. What does that look like? You know, well, to me, that's ownership in this agency and helping build this thing together as a team. And that's probably where I would start if I had to do it that way. You know, like I said, I was pretty lucky that it was volunteered before at the first meeting. So I got lucky, but I think if I were to have to do it, it would definitely be coming from a place of how do we benefit the agency and, you know, a little bit of humility and how I ask the question.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Those are so many little gems of knowledge there. I really appreciate you sharing all that with us. If someone wanted to reach out to talk to you, get advice, hear a little bit more about your story, where can they reach you?
So my email is pretty simple. It's Clint, C-L-I-N-T, at iProtectInsurance.com. And you're more welcome to call my cell phone, 256-975-4964. I'm an open book. You know, I'm here to help anybody that Scott sends me. I try to help them as much as I can, you know, because I was lucky and got a lot of that help on the front end. So, you know, let's pay it forward, like the Starbucks line, you know.
I love that Starbucks line, my friend. Well, I got to tell you, you gave some incredible advice. Hearing it from someone who sat in the seat and walked that journey is pretty impactful. So I appreciate you spending time with us, and I can't wait to see you soon. I'm sure I will be seeing you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. This is my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Insurance Refocus podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to hit subscribe and leave us a review so you'll never miss us. Want to learn more about how Agency Focus can help you grow your agency? Head to agency-focus.com or email Carrie directly at carrie@agency-focus.com. If you need to get in touch with me, feel free to shoot me an email at lindsay@agency-focus.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.